Today on the passive study, we're going to continue our devotional studies based on the Gospel of John. But before we do, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask your blessing upon our study today. I pray that your words would be very clear and understandable to the listener today. My prayer for the saint of God that who are listening today, that they would be encouraged, strengthened in the things of thee, built up in the things of thee, that they would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if there's a lost sinner listening today that's never trusted Jesus Christ and his shed blood to forgive them for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secure them a home in heaven, I pray that they would believe from the heart that it's only Christ's shed blood, his finished work on that cruel cross at Calvary, that can save them. Save them from going to hell. Pay for all their sins and secure them a home in heaven. And Father, with the angels in heaven, we'll rejoice this day over one sinner that repenteth. Father, we ask you to have your will in your way in our lives today. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and we give thanks. Amen and amen. We left off last time. We were in the middle of a study entitled, What Seek Ye? Based on the passage that we found, we read the verses in John chapter 1. Verses 35 to 39. Let's just read them again. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. Again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto him, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being an interpreted master, where dwelleth thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. We were looking at four great truths as found in these verses that should open a door for any seeking soul to know the truth. We looked at the first question, which was a sincere question, in verse 38, as the two disciples asked, Where dwelleth thou? And then we looked at the second great truth, which was a sacred invitation, found in verse 39, when Jesus said unto them, He saith unto them, Come and see. Now, we want to pick up and look at the third great truth as found in these verses. A sudden response in verse 39. A sudden response is found in verse 39. We read, They came and saw where he dwelt. These sincere seekers were quick to respond to the invitation of Jesus. And immediately they came, and when they came, they saw. Unsaved friend listening today, God wants to save you right now. And he has so graciously invited you. But he has left it all up to you as to what you will do with the invitation. You can respond and be saved, or you can reject and be lost forevermore. When the Apostle Paul preached that great sermon at Mars Hill in Athens, Greece, says some mocked it at the message. Some put it off, saying they would hear him again, but some believed. and were saved. God has offered you eternal life, has invited you to be saved. By the way you respond will be up to you. You see, God will not save you against your will or wishes, but you must come to Him just as you are. The fourth great truth we see is a satisfying experience is found in verse 39. We read the words, "and abode with him that day." When these two responded to the gracious invitation, they came and saw. They were satisfied and stayed with him that day. To you who are lost, if you will exercise faith and come to the Lord, I will assure you that you will be satisfied and will abide with him for one eternal day. Man is born with a sinful nature and an empty soul. There is nothing in this life that can satisfy that empty spot except Jesus Christ. No one has ever been saved by the grace of God that has been sorry about it. When you let him come, when you believe on his name, when you believe it's only his shed blood and nothing else to save you, you let him into your life, that is all that you will ever want. Before we move on to our next devotional study on the Gospel of John, I leave you with this before we move on. The next verse says that one of these two was Andrew. And he was so blessed and happy that he went to find his brother Peter and get him to Jesus. Unsaved listening today, you need Christ today. And if you come to know him, you want everyone to know him. Amen? As we move on to our next devotional study, which is entitled, Come and See. Come and See. Now, we've already read verses 35 to 39, but I want us to pick up in verse 40 and read down together to verse 49. Verse 40, John chapter 1. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith to him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no guile. And Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. The Apostle John opens his first epistle by making this declaration about Jesus Christ. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Those followers of Jesus spoke and wrote with authority, because they had seen the Son of God, walked with him, saw the miracles he performed, and was there when they crucified him. They were there when he arose from the grave, and was there when he ascended back to heaven. As we read the record, these men gave us of the person of Christ. We see that each described him in a different manner. Here in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, we see four different men as they came in contact with Jesus for the first time. Each one sees him in a different phase of his ministry and work on earth. What I want us to do is examine those who met the Son of God. First of all, we see John saw him as the Lamb of God in verses 35 to 36. We read, again the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. You see, John the Baptist had preached to the one who was coming after him, whose shoe latches he wasn't worthy to unloose. And when Jesus appeared on the scene, John pointed the multitude to him, saying, Behold the Lamb of God. Now the Jews surely understood the term lamb, for they were always conscious of the Passover and the sacrifice of the lamb. To John, Jesus was the Lamb of God, the one who would make the supreme sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. In Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 28, Hebrews 9 verse 28, we read the following. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation. When this thing all comes to a close, we shall see him face to face as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Look with me in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verses 11 to 12. We read the following. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels around about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. The second one we want to look at is Andrew. Andrew saw him as the Messiah in verses 40 to 41. It says, One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Every good Jew knew the scriptures, and all the prophets had prophesied of the coming of the Messiah to Israel. Even in the Gospel of John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman knew of the coming Messiah. She said to Jesus in verse 25, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. With the knowledge of the scriptures and the expectation of the coming Messiah, Andrew saw him and found his brother Peter saying, "We have found the Messiah." Messiah means the anointed one who delivers from the great yoke. The Jews as a nation rejected him as their Messiah. But for those who receive him, we are made the sons of God. Again, we're reminded in the Gospel of John chapter 1, in the verses 11 to 12, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The third person we want to look at is Philip. Philip saw him as Jesus of Nazareth in verses 44 to 45 in John chapter 1. We read, "Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." While John saw him as the Lamb of God, and Andrew saw him as the Messiah, and Philip saw him in his earthly body and his earthly mission, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. This was the picture that Isaiah gives of him. In the 53rd chapter, we read, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground." You see, as a tender plant, he was born and cuddled in a mother's arms like any child. But as a root out of a dry ground, he was the divine Son of God. While Jesus was God in the flesh, he was still human. And being human, he was tempted, and he suffered that he might understand our temptation and our suffering. We're reminded of this in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 15. We read this, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." Nothing happens to a child of God that he does not understand, because he has suffered the same. Last person we want to look at is Nathanael. Nathanael saw him as the Son of God. And we read this in verses 48 to 49. "Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knoweth thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." While Nathanael was inquisitive to begin with, his eyes were soon open, and he saw Jesus in a twofold purpose. First, Nathanael saw him as the Son of God. This was God incarnated in the flesh. Second, he saw him as the King of Israel. He saw him in that day when he would establish a kingdom forever. To the believer, he is not only the Son of God, but he is our Lord of Lords and King of Kings. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15, we're reminded of this when we read, "Which in his times he shall shew, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Before we move on to our next lesson, I want to leave you with this thought.
In John chapter 12, verse 20, the Bible says, there were certain Greeks who came to Philip and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Precious soul listening today, come and see Jesus. He is the answer to your needs. Amen. Now, our next lesson, which is entitled Greater Things We'll See, is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 1 again, in verse 50. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 50, and read verse 50 together. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I soweth thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." When Jesus spoke these words to Nathanael, he had reference to the things that Nathanael was to see as a disciple of the Lord. You see, Nathanael was amazed when Jesus called him by name and said, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." But Jesus said, "Thou shalt see greater things than these." Nathanael saw greater things in the miracles of our Lord, in the healing of the impotent, the cleansing of the leopard, the opening of the blind eyes. He witnessed the crucifixion as the earth turned dark and the mountains quaked. He saw the resurrected Savior and stood on the mount that day with the other disciples as Jesus was taken up from their midst into heaven. The Christian has already witnessed some great things in their life. You see, they have witnessed what the grace of God can do for a soul lost in sin. They have experienced many of the blessings of being a child of God. But as Jesus said, "Thou shalt see greater things than these." Let's see some of these things that we're going to see. First of all, we shall see the rapture. We shall see the rapture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verses 16 and 17, we read the following. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." The moment we were saved was a great experience. And many have been the blessings since then. But the greatest hour is just ahead when Jesus comes in the air and calls the church out of the world. This glorious truth is denied by the scoffers of our day. Yet it does not change the truth. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, we're reminded of the scoffers. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming?" Later in the same chapter, Peter declares that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The greatest thing will be when Jesus comes in the air, and with a shout, the church age will come to a close. Remember, Jesus said, "Thou shalt see greater things." Second thing we'll see, we shall see the reunion. The reunion. We know, the Bible says, "For we know, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." You see, life is a miracle to start with. And only God can give life. But when death comes, it takes from us those who are so dear and precious. To say goodbye as a casket is closed is a dark moment for those who remained. It leaves a broken and lonely heart. This is a dark part of life. But thou shalt see greater things than these. When the dead in Christ rise first, we will meet them in the air, and there will be a great reunion. The third thing we will see is we shall see the resonance. We shall see the resonance. In John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The human mind cannot comprehend such a place that is prepared for the believer to inherit. You see, Abraham looked for this city whose builder and maker is God. The Apostle Paul had a glimpse of the city that he declared was unlawful to write about. John witnessed this holy city coming down from God out of heaven. We can dream about it, and we can imagine what it will be like. Yet, thou shalt see greater things than these. Labors, toils, burdens, sorrows, sickness, troubles, and heartaches will all be over when we step inside the city prepared for the child of God. What an exciting day that will be, my friends. Finally, the fourth thing we'll see the reckoning. We'll see the reckoning. In Revelation chapter 20, Revelation 20, verse 11, we read these sobering words. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Sinful man goes on his sinful way, and it seems if the wicked prosper, while the child of God struggles along trying to make ends meet. There's a song that goes like this: "I saw a way-worn traveler in tattered garments clad. While struggling up the mountains, it seemed that he was sad." This may seem true now, but it's not over yet. The day will come when we shall see how God will deal with sin and the sinner. We're reminded of this in Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 to 15. We read, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You see, the sinner may think they're going to get by, but thou shalt see greater things when God calls a Christ rejecter before him. Before we close, I want to leave you with this. If the great event of Jesus coming in the air would take place today, I ask you, how would you stand? Are you prepared? If not, come now and receive Jesus Christ, believing in your heart that it's only through his shed blood and nothing else that can pay for the forgiveness of sins, save you from going to a sinner's hell, and secure you a home in heaven. Won't you come today? Jesus is waiting. Well, that's all the time we have on the Pastor Study today. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today on the Pastor Study. And until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.